Pastor invited some of you come here, so I kept mine to share for a whole sermon about it. So if you are hearing, no, that's not true. That's not what I'm preaching on. But it has been an amazing time, a time of fellowship, a time of worship, a time of giving glory to God, and everybody willing and ready to praise God. The reason I'm saying is this: ministers who came there are probably one or the other way in a leadership. So when the leaders are pushing the congregation to lift your arms, you know what, let's dance, praise God, and those leaders, and by the way, AOG, Assemblies of God, just let me mention, if we have forgotten sometimes, it's a Pentecostal movement, just to mention you. And we do bear in our church name, New Life Pentecostal Church. We don't want to be the name bearers. We want to be the Pentecostals. And what happened on Pentecost Day gives us a name who we are. And that's where we take it on from. And those leaders and ministers, nobody has to tell them, because ministers or leaders, whoever are worshiping here, they always say, okay, let's worship, stand up, raise hands, and there nobody has to say to anybody, because they wish everybody was doing the same thing. So it was an amazing time, and we really glorified God and being there, and we are filled. God spoke to us in different ways, personally, as a church, as a movement, and as a nation. We were all touched. And there was a touch from heaven where we all came. And as I said that, the place we are meeting here now is no less to what we have been in there. Because we worshipped the same God whom we are worshipping here today. As we have seen there, the miracles happening, the power of God and the touch of God, we can expect the same thing happening here too. The power of God is same. The expectancy should be the same. Coming with that expectant heart to say, Jesus, I am here. What do you want me to hear from you? What is that you are teaching me? Expecting I'm going to receive. Expecting I'm going to get this. So, and I kind of urge you to pay some of what, pay attention to what Uncle John and Uncle Robin shared. It is very, very important. It's not far off from what we are speaking, because when we say, if something happened to my mom, recently has been in hospital again, but it hurts because I know my mom, because she gave me birth. She is a family. And those people who are losing their lives are no different, or shouldn't be any different, to whom our family members are, because Jesus paid it all for us on that cross to make us to be and call us to be in a family where he wants us to be. Right. When I was away in this conference, I was very much concentrating, and I was listening to every preacher, and I was praising God and everything. And suddenly, this message comes up. Anissa. This message comes up. And you will be thinking, okay, why do I display this message? That was from my wife, though, in case. Right. I've been away for 3 days. And she sends me this message to say, I love you so much. I just want to share you this, because no matter where I am, what she has for me is love. And no matter where I am, what I do or what I think of is, yes, even during office days or something, we do get texts to say, Why am I sharing this? Because the relationship you have with somebody makes you to do the things what you want to do. The relationship we have with the relationship that my wife has with me made her to send a text to express, I love you so much. And that's what happens. The relationship with God, what you have, makes you to do what you want to do for God. Right, what we are going at, or what we are looking at today is, I have a reason to worship. Yes, we can hear some cries there from the baby. That's why Jason came up here to share, I have a reason to worship. I would just like to show you a video clip before I start my message that God has laid on my heart. And you will see what I'm talking about. Let's listen to and watch this small video before I carry on. What we have seen there is a caterpillar going through metamorphosis and turning into a butterfly. The word metamorphosis is kind of a similar word that is used in Bible, is transformed, or caterpillar transformed into a butterfly. Do you see that butterfly with half any parts of caterpillar in there? Do you see more legs than a butterfly has? Or is the butterfly crawling? There is no resemblance from what it was to what it is. There is no resemblance from what it was, a caterpillar, to what it is as a butterfly. Now I would like to read a text from Bible, which is very familiar verse, but I would just like to read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. The old is gone. If we look at the caterpillar, when the old is gone, we say, you don't see any resemblance of caterpillar in there. It does not crawl, it's not long, it's beautiful, it's colorful, and it's just adorable, as we see. It looks so nice. The reason why I'm saying this here, when we read this verse, we say, I am new creation. So when it is a new creation, we are like butterflies. But what we do is, now and then, we pick up some characters from caterpillar. When we don't feel as much as we should be, or where we should be, we go back into the times. Okay, that was the time it hurt me. That was the guilt I carry still. This is what has happened to me. This is what I was. And if a butterfly thinks that it was a caterpillar, it wouldn't fly again. It would be crawling. That's where we are supposed to be flying, spreading joy. Whenever somebody looks at the butterfly, it spreads joy. You see it, oh yes, and the kids run behind, and the weight flutters the wings. Everything is beautiful. And when you look at the butterfly, do you think, oh, look at it, it's a caterpillar, I don't want to touch? No. You admire the way it is. Let me tell you, when God has transformed our lives from where we were caterpillars to a beautiful butterfly, He looks at us as beautiful. There is no part of caterpillar in our lives. We might go back, we'll think, yes, I'm now a butterfly. When the situation comes, no, I'm going to be a caterpillar. Now we look at it, oh yes, praise God, the situation has been resolved. When we go through the tough times, again, we become caterpillars. And picking on the things, oh, this is my guilt, this is what I had been through. If only you knew what I had been through, you wouldn't be telling me this. But God says, you are a butterfly, be a butterfly. Don't be onto a caterpillar. If you are a part of caterpillar, you can't fly like a butterfly. And for this reason, that God made me, God transformed me. He transformed me completely. He made me new altogether. There is nothing left from the old. We sang the songs. It was wonderful worship time. It was beautiful. And parts of the song we sang were amazing to say, there is no guilt. And I will worship my God. I will worship my God. In Christ alone we found hope. And we sang all of them, how great our God is. And that great God, where we have looked into the instances, what we have sung there before, there is no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you. So what I want to speak to you today is on, I have a reason to worship. The reason I have to worship Him is that I am a new creation. And it's not only about me. It is about who He is, how faithful He is, how great God we serve, Almighty Creator, and still He came to save us. That is the reason I have to worship Him. I would just like to look at this story about worship. A very familiar story, but I would just like to read this verse from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it's a beautiful story, and we are all aware of that. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 4. And now verse 5. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Thereafter she wept and did not eat. I would just like to look at a couple of things. In verse 7, as you can look on the screen, it says, so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. Every year they went up to the house of the Lord. And then I'm jumping to verse 12. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long you will be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And this is where the situation of Hannah is. She has been married, and Elkanah has two wives. One wife has sons, and whenever they go to the temple, Elkanah gives the portions to Peninnah and his sons and daughters, so they take their portion, and then Hannah has to do it as well. Hannah has to take her portion. But Hannah didn't have children, so she gets a portion. Because she's favored, she gets the double portion. And if we look at the next verse, this is something I would like to read as well. Verse number 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? I would like to ask that question to my wife, and I wouldn't, because I don't want to hear the answer. He's asking, okay, I'm here for you, and why are you weeping? Why are you crying? And let's look at these verses there. Once it says, in verse, as we look at it, God had closed her womb, so she did not have children. Yet, she went to the temple year by year, putting up with the misery given by Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah. Let's look at this, why I'm saying this. Hannah went to worship God, even though her circumstances are not favorable. What does worship mean? If we look at it, where this word comes from? When we talk about worship, usually I'm not going to say how we worship or what we worship, but I'm just going to look at it in a different angle that God has given me to share to you. The word of origin, worship, from the Old English, which is worship, and from worth, and then ship. So which is worth, and then the other word is ship. So worship comes from, which is worth. You value what it is. So worship is not lifting hands. Worship is not dancing. Worship is not playing music. What we do them is the sign of worship. That's what you are. That's the expression of worship, what you have. That's why I showed you a picture, what my wife sent it to me. She knows that, okay, and I know she loves me, but she has to express it, what she has. And that's why I put it up there. And here we have, and we do worship. And this is part of their culture, to go to the temple as a part of worship, and as a part of to say, God, you are worth more than what I think it is. You are worth for me. And the meaning says, honor, dignity, respect, love, reverence, adore. This is what it says to be worshiping. I mean, this is what you do to express all these. You do something. The way of expressing the qualities of honor and dignity is worship. So when we are worshiping, and how we are worshiping, is it will compel you. The worship will compel you to do the things that praise God. And every year, no matter, Peninnah was being miserable to Hannah, and she knows that she has to go through this. Every year she will be reminded that womb, her womb is closed, she doesn't have children, and every instance that she has it, but she did not leave, or she did not give up worshipping God. She kept going. And what is it that is important for us to worship? We'll just go through the story and then I'll come back to it. And the next verse, when you look at it, then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass, to process of time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. We clearly see there is a story where Eli says, okay, now you are going to bear a child by the time you come next. And then she says, thank you, let your servant be favored. And after all that conversation, the next day, they go up, they worship before the Lord, and then they go back home. After worshiping, they did whatever they have to do usually on a daily basis again. And then you can see the story where Samuel was born. Right, here we are looking at the circumstances. Why do we need to worship God? This is what I learned. The reason I have a reason to worship is, the reason to worship is to make God bigger than our problems and us. That's the reason we worship God. It's not that we are praying for what He has done. We all will be praising for people who do something. Okay, if they have given you something, yes, thank you very much. Or we just keep singing praises for them for what they have done. It is not about, God does not need our worship. But we need to worship God for our sake. We are not doing it for God's sake. We are doing it for our sake. So we are lifting it, His name up. We are making, God, you are bigger than the troubles that I'm going through. That was the thing exactly Hannah did. Hannah said, you know what, I know I am barren. I know these people call me what I am. I know that I didn't have a child. I know everything. But instead of looking into their names or what they are calling me, I would rather choose to go and worship my God every year. And making God bigger than her situations and bigger than herself. And today, this is what I would like to make it one thing. If nothing, you get it what I'm saying. One thing I would like you to remember is, worship God so you make Him bigger than your situations and bigger than yourself. There is nothing that God can't deal with. And then God opened her womb. We can see that after this, when she worshipped, when she continued, God remembered. You can see in the verse it says, God remembered Hannah and opened her womb and gave her a child, a promised child. And no matter what we are going through, let me remind you today, make God bigger than your situation. Make God bigger than who we are. Make God in what you love. Love God so much He becomes bigger than our current situations. It was quite a challenge for me this week. While I was in the conference, as much as I was praying and praising God, I kept receiving phone calls and messages from India, and I have never seen my mother in a situation where she was where her face was completely swollen. She couldn't open her eyes to see because everything was swollen. She's not eating. She's not drinking. She's in a very bad situation. And I look at them and I say, no, this is not what I'm looking at. I know I love my mom. She is the reason for whom I am today. But at the same time, rather look to my God who created me and my mom than looking at mom and trying to solve the things by myself. I would have lost everything that I have, all we have shared, if I was focusing on the situation my mom was in rather than praising God who He is. And that situation taught me in a place and put me in a place, you know what, this is what it should be. And I had this sermon from last week saying worship, but I was thinking, right, this is going to be, I will be preaching on. Before I preach, most of the time, one of the members said, Joel, you are preaching this and you brought this word. Do you know it is for you? And I said to the person, most of my sermons, when I preach when I have experienced them or when God has took me through that experience. It's not something, it happens and then I bring. And that point, it was more needed for me to praise and worship God, to concentrate and to focus on Him, to make Him bigger than what my mother is going through. Make it bigger than what my sister was going through recently. But praise God, now she's back. She's cancer-free. She's praising and worshiping God. And I'm not saying when we are worshiping and doing this that everything will be fine. What I'm saying is we are focusing on the right thing and we still pray, let God's will be done in my mother's life too. Right, and here Hannah decided, no matter what the situations are, I'm going to worship my God. And when we have a reason that God has given us to worship, let that reason be known. I would just like to look at one more portion of the Bible and then I'll finish it up. In John chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, this is one of the familiar stories as well, once again, where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. And you know the story when he meets and he tells this story about, you know what, who is your husband and then how many husbands do you have and the one who you are living with is not your husband as well. But then it is an interesting conversation comes after that and which caught my attention. Verse 20, chapter 4, verse 20. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied. I would just like to look at that and say, Hannah went to the temple to worship God. And it was, and even Jesus went to the temple. Let's look at it here. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. I would just like to bring the attention here. The custom of going to the temple or going to Jerusalem is broken by Jesus when He came. Now you don't need to go to anywhere else. You don't need to look for somewhere else place to go to. This place might have healing, or this one has something, or I might have to go to another place to do it. Let's look at it clearly. Verse 22, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. it is from Jews, it's not for Jewish people or Jews. Yet, verse 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Verse 24, God is Spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in. We don't need to go onto a mountain, or we didn't need to go into Jerusalem to worship Him. Jesus has given us and opened up a new opening altogether, tearing the veil there to say, everybody is welcome, and you can pray in your heart. And that's what when Hannah was praying, she was praying in her heart. She didn't have any words to say. Only her lips were coming. She was so tired. She didn't eat anything, but her heart was still praying. Her heart was still worshiping. And this is where we should be. It is not where we go to worship or where we worship. Don't get me wrong that you don't have to come to church. That's not what I'm preaching. What I'm saying is, yes, it's the fellowship that we are coming to here. But the main thing what I'm saying here is worshiping in spirit and in truth. We know the truth when Jesus said, I am the truth. And through Him we have access to Father. And let Father be glorified. And we can see it. Worshippers, the Father seeks. Who is important than where? Whom we are worshipping is important than where we are worshipping. We could be there. Now, as we have heard from Uncle Robin and Uncle John saying, those people are laying down their lives for Jesus, for bearing His name, because they know they love God with all their heart. They worship Him in truth and in spirit. And that they know the mortal bodies, or even if they are dead, the worship that do in their spirit is important to them. And today I would just like to challenge you here. We have a reason. I have a reason to worship God. For He is bigger than anything. How do we give this Hemel Hempstead a reason to worship? The place you worship, you are a messenger. You are the letter that people will read. And you will be the witness. How your worship is that on a Sunday when I come to church, I lift my hands, praise and glorify God. And then when I go out, it is completely different. The other day, when we were in the conference, one of the things, if I had to say highlights, as others were sharing, was one thing. Everybody ministers to somebody, and of course as a ministry we have, but this pastor mentioned one thing. Ministry is the overflow of your personal relationship with God. Ministry is the personal relationship, overflow of personal relationship with God. So how you worship is the relationship that you have with God. And how you worship makes other people to know there is something different. There is something that I need to know whom they are worshipping. I need to see what they are worshipping. I need to know how or what they are doing. No matter whatever the situation it is, we have the verses that we share. Neither death, nor life, nor spirit, nothing. Nothing can separate. Nor height, nor depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we are anchored in that love of God, the worship that we do will glorify God. And then we have those people who have been to Jerusalem, been to the places to worship, but at the same time, their worship is there in their heart. Where are we going if we are worshiping in truth and spirit? Have we given the reason for Hemel Hempstead, our nation? We want everybody to come to know the love of God. But sometimes we just fall back to be the caterpillars where we lose it. If we know, if we find our identity in ourselves, we are gone. But if we find our identity in Christ, we know we are butterflies. And then we know we have a reason to worship God. And we know we will fly. And as people will see the beauty that's around and the joy that butterfly brings when we say it, and it will be the same. It's not only the joy when you meet with God, when you are spirit-filled, when you are worshiping God with spirit and truth, your face will shine. The glory of God will be upon you. Don't have to put a veil as Moses did, but when you go out, you will shine your light of what God has done in your life. And it is about the true worship that God has laid on my heart. And I just want to challenge you of how our worship is, how we are really focusing on God, no matter what we are going through, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter where we come from. It's not we pick and go back, but we look forward to who has paid that price for us. He didn't pay price to go and choose once again, now and then, to be a caterpillar. He paid it all together. He paid it all at once, that we are saved, and that I have a reason to glorify my God. I have a reason to worship Him who came to give life to me, and who has given me the eternal life, where I am looking forward to, and where He is coming back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You are worthy to be praised. You are the reason that I worship. God, we thank You for Your love, that You have expressed it through Jesus Christ, sending Your only Son and making us free, free of guilt, delivered from sin. And we no longer slaves to fear, to guilt, to condemnation, but we are a child of God. We are children of God. Father, we glorify Your name. Give us a heart to worship You in truth and in spirit, where our neighbors, our work colleagues, our friends in the Hemel town will see whom we worship and know the God whom You serve, Daniel, the God whom You serve, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We would want to serve the same God. Let the people of Hemel and the people of UK know that whom we serve is the Most High God, worthy to be praised and to be glorified. In Jesus' name, Amen.